It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for critical thinking.
Good day, sir. I said good day. Good day.
Good day.
It is a WTF Wednesday. It's always a good day. We get to have some laughs and some outrage. All right, we get to get all the you can't believe me out of the way.
Are you saying that we're addicted to outrage?
No. It is okay. The once a week, time frame where we can get all of the outrage, all of the what the fire truck did I just see out of the way. Yes, that's right, folks. It is a WTF Wednesday here on Critical Thinking. Do not forget, you can follow us on social media, and you can follow and find where to follow us on social media by watching us on our Rumble page, rumble.com/critical thinking. Again, rumble.com/critical thinking. Of course, thank you to each and every one of you who listen via podcast as well. And a big hearty thank you to those of you who are participating in Reviving Liberty, my little baby of a show, a manifesto, if you will, to liberty. And we've taken a few steps on the path towards reviving liberty for yourself and for this country. We have talked about not just what revival and liberty actually mean, but we have talked about rooting ourselves in God. We have talked about the second step. What are our principles, or what should they be? Let's have that discussion. Hit me up. I'm at the Coppins Show. He's at the Pat Oney Show. You know all that wonderful goodness on the social media front. Now, before we get into the insanity of WTF Wednesday, and of course the be or not to be coming before that, I just have a very, very simple question for you, Pat.
What's that?
Is starvation bad?
Yeah. I don't know why you'd be asking that, but yeah.
Would be not having fuel or power be bad?
In a civilized society, yes, that would be very, very bad.
So what you're telling me is that you're a fan of Old Spice.
Like the deodorant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's generally what I use, but okay.
Well, don't you remember back in the day that was their commercial? Anything else would be uncivilized.
No, I actually don't remember that commercial.
You youngins.
You just dated yourself, I think.
I mean, if it weren't for the gray in the beard, Pat, I'm pretty sure that did. Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. That dated you.
I mean, I would date me.
No. No, that's not possible.
Well, we'll get to that in the WTF, because there are a lot of things that are possible in the WTF segment.
Okay.
All right. So let's hold off on that thought. But to the thought that I was bringing to the table here. Yeah. I don't know if you've been paying attention in the audience. I don't know if you've been able to listen, because frankly, we have our own economic problems here in America to deal with and to delve into.
Yeah.
But there's a massive issue going on the island nation, 22 million people strong, of Sri Lanka.
Okay.
They've been without food, fuel, power for the vast majority of the last few months. Is that bad, Pat?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Didn't they just tell the World Economic Forum that they were going to be like super rich by like what, 2025?
It's funny you should mention that, because they did write a piece in the World Economic Forum and present at a conference in 2018, where Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, because apparently I'm Jill Biden and I can't talk. But their prime minister laid out a vision to, quote, strategically position Sri Lanka as the hub of the Indian Ocean. Because if you know anything about Sri Lanka, it is the island nation that literally sits in right on the southern edge of India, right?
Right.
It literally is in that cradle of the Indian Ocean. So you kind of have to go past it if you're going to do any sort of shipping or do anything in the Indian Ocean. So it is strategically an important place, right?
I mean, sure, I guess.
Also, how many island nations do you know have 22 million or more people in it other than Japan?
I mean, isn't Australia technically an island nation?
It's also a continent.
Yeah.
In Australia, I think there's only 30 million. It's not as large as you think it is.
I didn't say it was large. What about New Zealand?
That's a really small nation. It may be 3 million, somewhere in that region. Somewhere in that region. But clearly they had a vision of strategically positioning Sri Lanka as the hub of the Indian Ocean, right? And the article says that this is how I will make my country rich by 2025. Now, I know that you have not had time to study this, Pat, because I asked you about this off air, but pray tell, could you guess what strategy, what strategy were they going to be using? What things were they going to do to make their country rich by 2025?
I'm just going to go on a limb and say some sort of combination of like stakeholder capitalism, socialism, communism, and modern monetary theory.
You hit the nail on the head with two of them.
Damn.
Stakeholder capitalism and modern monetary theory. And the third one, climate change, Pat. Come
climate change.
That's
climate
right.
Change. They believe in that crap over there?
Wickremesinghe cited the WTF or WTF, WEF. I mean, that was not Freudian. That was just exactly correct. The WEF as an organization that will help him to achieve the goals. You see, when he spoke in 2018 in Hanoi, Vietnam, that's not ironic. But you see, the World Economic Forum on Asian provides me with the opportunity to showcase the landmark changes in Sri Lanka and our growing economic interconnection with the Asian region and beyond. It will build upon the foundations of the historical and cultural ties that have existed for many centuries and which bind our people irrevocably. Well, the president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, also promised in 2019 to transition the country's farmers to organic agriculture over the next 10 years. Pat, how long did it take him for this transition to happen? Just a guess. Not 10 years. I'll give you that.
I mean, so let's see. We're in 2022. I'm gonna say 3 years.
Well, April of 2021. So less than 18 months later, after declaring that they're going to transition the country's farmers over the course of 10 years, he imposed a nationwide ban on fertilizers and pesticides, making the country's 2 million farmers go completely organic, quote unquote. Now, here's the rub of organic farming. Organic farming doesn't say you shouldn't be using fertilizers.
Yeah.
Organic farming says you shouldn't be using inorganic fertilization and pesticides, right? Now, right. I will say this. I have my druthers with pesticides and some of the things that have gone on over the years. But in some cases, they are healthy. They do serve a purpose. Okay? I'm not saying all of them are bad. What I am saying is the pesticides of 30 years ago are terrible, horrible, awful. Not so much anymore. I know plenty of people who are farmers, and they will speak to pesticides and the need to keep crops healthy. Otherwise, the seeds, otherwise the future, otherwise all of these other things are at stake. But in less than a year following that April 2021, well, just over a year. Okay, we'll give it 14 months, maybe 15 months. That same president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, fled the country on Tuesday. Amidst food shortages, a collapsing currency, massive record inflation, power outages, fuel shortages, Mr. Padone.
Uh-huh.
Is that a problem?
I'm just curious about two things, really.
Mm-hmm.
One, how is it exactly, again, that they are defining wealth? Two, how is there not a coup happening right now?
Funny you should mention that. There's a reason in which he has fled the country, Pat. Because the people stormed the presidential palace, took over the prime minister quarters in protest this past weekend. And by the way, some of the pictures are absolutely hilarious. They're literally sitting there living high on the hog, right? While their people are starving and all these things. And the people that get into the palace have taken some amazing pictures of them, you know, in the life of opulence, showcasing exactly what the problem is, right?
Right.
And by the way, the prime minister resigned last week.
I'm guessing he's never coming back to Sri Lanka.
That would be my guess. Yeah.
Yep. Where exactly did he flee to? Just out of curiosity.
Nobody knows. An undisclosed location. I guess is India.
That would make the most sense. Yeah.
To ensure the continuation of the government, including the safety of all citizens, I accept the best recommendation of the party leaders today to make way for an all-party government. To facilitate this, I will resign as prime minister, dated July 9th. Now, the president fleeing the country on a Navy ship, by the way. Now, Sri Lanka had a near-perfect ESG, the Environmental Social Governance score, according to the WEF, at 98. They were perfect. This is a country. This is the WTF model and the WEF's model. I want you to think about that. This is their model of how society should be shaped in the future.
So wait, so let me get this straight. The model of the World Economic Forum ends up in
the Great Reset. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Poverty, food shortages, starvation, currency collapse, and basically a coup d'etat of a country. That's the model?
That's correct.
Methinks that they
Michael Schellenberger pointed this out. Mm. Quote, a food, energy, and financial crisis have brought down Sri Lanka's government. But the underlying cause is the fact that the nation's political leaders had fallen under the spell of green elites peddling ESG and banning modern fertilizers. Again, we're not talking about the fertilizers and the pesticides of 30, 40 years ago. We're talking about modern fertilization. Now, to tie this into a nice little bow, Pat, do you know what's going on in Europe right now?
Specifically, what in Europe?
Well, in the Netherlands, uh-huh. There are two things I hate in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures. And the Dutch. But I digress. The Dutch farmers have gone on massive strike and protest over, wait for this, the banning of modern fertilizers and pesticides. Now, if you know anything about the Netherlands, Pat,
yeah.
Outside of the United States, it is the number two exporter of agricultural goods in the world.
Uh-huh.
Sri Lanka had this problem. It collapsed their entire country. Because it turns out when you can't sustainably... And I don't use that term the way that the ESG people use that term. What I mean by sustainably farm is be able to predictably produce a good, right?
Right.
That's sustainability, to be able to sustain your farming, to be able to know that I'm going to be able to produce X amount of crops on a predictable basis. When you lose that, all sorts of bad things happen because it turns out that while we have become a massive consumer society here in America, the root of all of our success is agricultural in nature.
Yeah.
We're still the world's farm.
Though, I mean... One could make the argument that the Netherlands is a more, stable country than Sri Lanka?
You would think that, right?
You would think that, at least.
So then why would the millions upon millions of farmers literally get in their tractors and surround their government? Right? Well, remember Canada, Pat. Canada, they're one of the most advanced Western civilizations we have, right? the truckers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to think about that for a second, Pat. Think about all of these things happening. Around the world, these things are happening. And our government is going down this path. This is our future if we don't wake the bleep up. Because you damn well know that the people that are in charge of the EPA, you damn well know the people in charge of the Department of Agriculture, you damn well know the people inside the Biden White House, the people actually in charge, the people actually making decisions, want this for our future. We are watching our future in front of us. Why is organic farming so expensive, Pat? Why, when you go to the grocery stores, it's so expensive? Because it is so unpredictable that when you produce a limited amount of goods, it raises the price of said good. Organic farming is hard, super hard. And if people can't feed themselves, and it's not like we don't have any sort of precedent for this in the United States. Oh, wait, we still have a baby formula shortage in this country. We can't even figure out how to produce an inorganic version of organic. You know, breast milk? We can't even do that. We can't even stock the shelves that way. But hey, let's go ahead and talk about banning pesticides and banning fertilizers, modern fertilizing. It's anti-science, it's anti-competitive, and it will kill this country if we don't pay attention to it. That's my point in all of this. You're seeing it in Sri Lanka. You saw an absolute, utter collapse. You've seen what happens when you collapse a society that is oil-rich, Venezuela. We have seen what you do when you decide to go down the World Economic Forum, Great Reset, socialist bullshit. All over the globe, we are watching the Dutch farmers literally spread manure, spread fertilizer all over government buildings in The Hague. All over the place in major cities like Rotterdam and Amsterdam. You have pushed these people so far. And you are still burying your head so far up the WTF, WEF's ass. It is almost as if this is all intentional, Pat. It's almost as if this is all on purpose. It's almost as if we have an entire generation that has told us for 20 years their goal is to collapse and rebuild.
Isn't that what Klaus Schwab has more or less said?
Absolutely. Because it will be about the liberal world order. And that's not me saying that. That is Joe Biden's own mouthpieces. Now, before we get into the heart of WTF Wednesday, how about we play a little bit of the bee or not the bee. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm very ready.
How would you lay that headline on me at least one time?
Alrighty. The most shocking revelations from Hunter Biden's laptop. The most shocking revelations from Hunter Biden's laptop. Is this the bee?
I don't even need you to set this up. This is going to be the Babylon Bee.
Are you sure?
Because it'll be the 10, 12, 13, 7 most shocking revelations from Hunter Biden's laptop. We don't even need to get into the best part of the things that are in my cup being American Pride Roasters. Go to AmericanPrideRoasters.com. This is the Babylon Bee.
Why do you have to ruin everything?
Final answer. Because you just lobbed the biggest softball humanly possible.
Yeah, well, I changed it from 12 to the to kind of throw you off a bit, but you know. Fine, it's the Babylon Bee. Easy money. The entire contents of Hunter Biden's laptop, iPhone, and iPad have been leaked to the public. How embarrassing. The Babylon Bee team spent all night scrolling through the 4chan threads last night, and we checked into therapy this morning. Here are the 12 most shocking, humiliating revelations from Hunter Biden's laptop. 1. His desktop was covered with 200 icons, and his recycling bin has never been emptied. Gross. 2. His default search engine was set to Bing. The smartest man Joe Biden knows, it would not appear. 3. The email app had over 1,038,202 unread emails, the mark of a psychopath. 4, he's watched Netflix's Cuties over 1,200 times. Perfectly normal behavior, nothing to see here. 5, the hard drive contained multiple copies of Shrek the Third. This just got worse and worse. 6, he never finished installing Covenant Eyes internet filter. He could have avoided all this trouble. 7, he had 5,276 browser tabs still open. They were all porn. 8, the Candy Crush app only shows him at level 6, but he's completed Barbie's magic hairstyle several times and unlocked all the achievements. 9, he paid over 19 years of Norton and never turned it on. Thankfully, that bill was paid for by a Chinese firm who also ensured it was never turned on. 10, he's always replied all on emails and always remembered to CC the big guy. 11, GPS shows he spends several dozen hours at Chuck E. Cheese per week. Nothing suspicious on about that.
By the way, those 12, that reply all on every single email.
Yeah.
You're an asshole.
Yeah. 12. The FBI is probably at his door right now to arrest him for drug dealing and underage sex trafficking. Oh, they aren't? Huh. Maybe they're just really busy today. And there you have it. They're your 12 things. And yes, I agree with you. The those that reply to all on emails, mm-hmm. You're a jerk. You're an ass. Learn to hit the reply button. Only hit reply all when it is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, you know, the sad part of all of this is honestly, how the hell is Hunter Biden not in jail? I mean, he literally has taped his crimes. Literally tape them.
Yep.
What the hell? If this were you or I or anybody else that just decided to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to video every interaction of me weighing out crack and having fun with hookers. Whoa, man.
We wouldn't just be in jail. We'd be in like some sort of like white collar max security prison.
On that note, Pat, it is time for WTF Wednesday. All right, so nothing is more WTF than this news that just broke as we are recording this show. Inflation has set a new high. You ready? 9.1%.
I was going to say it's going to be over 9%, isn't it? Damn it.
New high. Of 9.1%, the consumer price index rose 9.1% between June of 2021 and June of 2022, meaning that inflation once again surpassed record highs. The most recent year-over-year inflation figure exceeded the Dow Jones estimate of 8.8%. The price of food has increased 10.4%, price of energy 41.6%, and the price of new vehicles has increased 11.4%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Enormous deficit spending of $2.5 trillion just in fiscal year 2021 and the first 8 months of fiscal year 2022 has meant more money chasing goods, Heritage Foundation research fellow Peter St. Onge told the Daily Wire. That federal spending competes with households, driving up prices by bidding away resources for government projects. Earlier this week, the Biden administration braced for the dismal inflation news, but argued that the June price data is somewhat outdated due to the possible easing of inflationary pressures, especially through lower gas prices. Now, the price at the pump has declined over the past week. It's about $4.63 on average, but here in Chicago, it's still well over $5 a gallon. And oh, by the way, when Joe Biden was first inaugurated on Inauguration Day, the average price of a gallon of gas was $2 a gallon cheaper We're talking about $20, $30 a gallon different, or not dollars a gallon, but $20 or $30 per fill up difference.
Yeah.
And how many times are you filling up, right? If you have to go into work every single day, right? You're filling up, what, every week at least?
Ish. I mean, depending on what your commute is.
Right, exactly. So you're filling up every week. Now, times that by 52, right? You're saving yourself thousands of dollars. We're not actually saving. We're spending thousands of dollars more than we were prior to you being president. Now, I also hate the, well, you know, because he's president. No. The economy is the economy regardless of the president. And I have said this many, many times. The only thing that they, as a president or as an administration or as politicians, have control over is the monetary supply. And that is the issue at hand here. We let this go for a way, 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 way too long period of time because we decided that the monetary policy of the Fed was going to be what? Well, during the pandemic, you couldn't possibly raise interest rates, even though we knew that inflation was coming. So rather than just letting it take its natural course, they artificially kept things low. And now we're seeing the fruits of that labor, right? We're seeing all those things happening. This is not good on any way, shape, or form.
No.
Not good at all. But hey, you know, while that is burning, right? While our world is burning, Dr. Jill Biden has weighed herself right in to the political pool.
Oh, now, boy.
Now, I'm used to first ladies giving speeches and doing all those things, right? But usually they're puff pieces. Usually they're things about charity or, you know, whatever. Nope, she just straight up was doing what Joe Biden or Kamala Harris should have been doing, speaking to some sort of progressive Latinx, as if that is a damn thing that actually is a thing, conference this week. And we're going to start WTF Wednesday with this, Pat.
But we can't get those things on our own. Raul helped build this organization with the understanding that the diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx, as beautiful as the blossoms of Miami, and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio, is your strength.
CC Podway.
Breakfast tacos?
Bogotas? Blossoms. Alliteration.
What the hell is she talking about?
My only question here, Pat, is how in the hell did we get to the point in which that was a thing that was ever put in front of her to speak? Because if I know one thing and one thing only about how these types of things go down, because I do, because again, we've actually had a guest on this program who knows this very intimately, having worked on Capitol Hill and done some speech writing and things like that, close personal friend of mine. This had to have gone through at least one, two, or three different people before it even got approved, okay? The first person would be the speechwriter. The second person would be her chief of staff. And then thirdly, somebody inside the White House. Okay. This went through three people. This is the dumbest administration in American history. This isn't even close. You can say all you want about how Woodrow Wilson sucks. You can say all you want about FDR. You can say all you want about a bunch of other presidents in our past.
I'd even throw Obama in there, but yeah,
none of them are this dumb. Bogotas,
they gave that speech to one of two people for approval. They either gave it to Kamala or worse, they gave it to Joe.
There's no way either one of those two saw that speech, Pat. No way.
I'm kidding, but it's Yeah, it's just it's crazy. It's stupid.
It's insulting. And it's insane. Now, I do enjoy the response from this, right? All the GOP Latino and Latina individuals out there posting themselves eating breakfast tacos, or more importantly, Marco Rubio just changing his Twitter picture to a hard shell taco. Now, I said to my wife last night, it would have been even more funny if he changed his Twitter profile picture to a Cubano sandwich. That's what I would have done to troll the crap out of that. But I mean, I want you to just seriously think about this for a second, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have known her history of issues with the Spanish language, right? After she decided to say CC Podway at an event a few years ago while on the campaign trail. Because she is so authentically in touch with her folks of the Latin persuasion, right? Of the Latino and Latina population. She's so in touch that she knows the word CC Podway. Now, that is not a word that even in the parlance of Star Wars.
Okay.
Was she trying to say Padme?
You know what? It's probably from the Star Trek universe somewhere.
Paging Ron Phillips. No. but you see my point, right? So you put the word bodega. You put the word bodega in there knowing she is going to absolutely butcher it. It is almost as if they are intentionally doing this to set them up to fail, or they're the dumbest people to have ever written speeches for anybody associated with the presidency of the United States of America. Now, you see what they were trying to do, right? Bodegas, blossoms, breakfast tacos, alliteration, right? Give her the easy way out. We're going to go with alliteration for our speech, right? A tried and true technique in speech writing.
I still don't understand how breakfast tacos fit in here, though.
Well, apparently San Antonio is actually famous for the breakfast taco, but that's neither here nor there.
Still. Like,
great. You know what? My wife and I eat breakfast tacos all the time. It's just insulting. This is absolutely racist. She wasn't doing this as a comedian either, by the way, right?
Right.
You know, it's one thing if Ralphie May is getting up on stage, rest in peace, and, making fun of every race on the planet, right? It's one thing if this is a comedian getting up there and talking about the insanity of the breakfast taco culture of San Antonio, right? That's not what she was doing. The diversity of your community. Tacos.
Is it bad that I'm craving a breakfast taco right now?
I'm craving a breakfast burrito, but yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because diversity, Pat.
Right.
Tacos and burritos.
Taco Bell. I would go with either, but yeah.
What, Taco Bell what? Which I can't eat anymore. I literally can't.
That's too bad.
Well, because
their breakfast.
Here's the thing. Most people don't know their taco meat not gluten free.
Really?
Yeah. Nope. Not gluten free in any way, shape, or form. Even if you got the hard shell taco, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, hard shell or soft shell taco? While we're at the taco conversation.
Oh, soft shell.
See, I enjoy them both. And the reason why I like a hard shell taco a little bit better is because it doesn't have the capability of getting soggy right away.
That's true. That's fair.
Unless it's a Taco Bell taco, in which case you're just getting like juice upon juice upon juice. But anyway, I digress.
Right.
Now, I do enjoy. Luckily, I can enjoy soft shell tacos. Corn or flour for you?
Corn or what?
Corn or flour tortillas.
Oh, I mean, I do the flour tortilla. I've also done, which is also really good. I've done wheat tortillas before.
Again, cannot do that. You want me to die, don't you?
No, but I'm just saying they're really good. Like a whole grain tortilla is actually really good. Surprisingly.
Moving on, though, Pat. I've got a little bit more on the WTF Wednesday front for you. Are you okay. ready to hear something even dumber than Bogadas and breakfast tacos? Are you ready?
Does it come from Karine Jean-Pierre or Joe Biden?
No. It comes from a senator from the great state of Hawaii.
Oh, boy.
Originalism, the justices who take that approach go all the way back to our founding fathers and pretend that they know what our founding fathers meant when they drafted the Constitution. I use the word pretend because who the heck would know what our founding fathers meant? Is there any reference to AR-15 rifles in our Constitution? No.
Is there any reference to abortion in the United States Constitution? No. You want to play that game? Let's play. Also, Pat, isn't it possible, just hear me out on this, Pat, that the people who wrote the Constitution of the United States of America and then also had a great debate known as the Federalist Papers, and there was this whole debate about ratifying the Constitution, and then there were years, decades of personal writings and thoughts and pamphlets and news articles. Maybe there were those things out there. Am I just being stupid?
No, it's almost like you did this thing in high school, and it's called study history. To understand what the founding fathers meant and what
who
they
the
thought.
Heck knows what the founding fathers meant, right? Because an AR-15 right. wasn't a thing that they could have imagined at that point in time.
Yeah. Do you know what else?
Also, fly.
I love this argument. I love this argument because, like, let's think about this for a second. You have the right to defend yourself, right? Our guns.
it's finally been decided that yeah, that's what the Second Amendment meant.
So here's the thing, though. Biblically speaking, are guns even mentioned in the Bible?
No.
Why?
Because they weren't a thing that was invented.
Exactly. So when we go back and we're starting to talk about AR-15 in the Constitution, it's not in there because why?
Right. Why is there no regulation of flight in the Constitution? Why is there no regulation of the railroad in the Constitution? Oh, because it wasn't a freaking thing. And they didn't mention cars either. We could go down the litany of stupid things to have been ever said by a senator. This is in the top five.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is going to be like the top somewhere.
This is the top. This is top five for me. Yeah. This is up there with the not the senator, but the congressman from Georgia who decided to tell us that what if the oceans rise and the island capsizes?
Yeah.
Now, on the opposite side of the insanity, I bring you the insanity of a response to a senator yesterday during, I believe, the same hearing as Maisie Hirano was at. Watch this, Pat.
Ollie. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to all of the witnesses for being here. Before I want to visit with you, Ms. Maskey, but before I do, I just want to clear one thing up. Professor Bridges, you said several times, you've used a phrase, I want to make sure I understand what you mean by it. You've referred to people with a capacity for pregnancy. Would that be women?
Many women, cis women, have the capacity for pregnancy. Many cis women do not have the capacity for pregnancy. There are also trans men who are capable of pregnancy, as well as non-binary people who are capable of pregnancy.
So this isn't really a women's rights issue. We can recognize
that this impacts women while also recognizing that it impacts other groups. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Senator Hawley.
So your view is that the core of this right then is about what?
So I want to recognize that your line of questioning is transphobic, and it opens up trans people to violence by not recognizing that.
Wow, you're saying that I'm opening up people to violence by asking whether or not women are the folks who can have pregnancies?
So I want to note that 1 out of 5 transgender persons have attempted suicide. So I think it's important.
Because of my line of questioning?
Because,
so we can't talk about it?
Because denying that trans people exist and pretending not to know that they exist.
I'm denying
dangerous.
That trans people exist by asking
you
if you're talking about women
having
pregnancies.
Do you believe that men can get pregnant?
No, I don't think women can get
pregnant. So you are denying that trans people exist?
And that leads to violence? Is this how you run your classroom? Are students allowed to question you?
Absolutely.
Or are they also treated like this? Where
they're told that they're opening
up people to violence.
We have a good time in my class. You should join.
I bet.
You might learn a lot.
Wow, I would learn a lot. I've learned a lot just
in
this exchange.
Absolutely.
Extraordinary.
Yep.
Ms. Matsky, let me ask you something.
What is it with these individuals and the googly eyes?
No, it's not googly eyes. That's crazy eyes.
Yeah, that's AOC crazy eyes right there. They all have it.
This takes me back to the scene in Billy Madison. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah. We are all dumber. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
That's
but it doesn't matter because she doesn't probably believe in God anyway. It doesn't matter.
Ooh.
What the hell was that?
Do you know what I wanted him to do in this? I so badly wanted him to ask her, what is a woman?
No, I don't want him to ask that question because I get it, right? I get it. What he should have asked is then, what if it's a trans man? Does that trans man have to provide for 50% of the woman in this equation? What do you do with that, right? Let's follow their idiotic logic. Let's go all the way. Let us go absolutely batshit crazy.
Follow
their logic to its conclusion because, okay, so this is, we have to treat this trans man, right, as a man.
Right.
And if legally speaking, then does that person have to, if they were to separate from their spouse or from the partner in which they got pregnant from? Okay. My question to you as a trans man is then, is that trans man responsible for 50% in child support? Because what's a man?
Right.
That's the question. That's the question that needs to be asked here, right? Follow their bullshit logic all the way to its bullshit conclusion and watch the bullshit that comes out of their mouth. Watch her eyes pop out of her head even more than they already were.
I mean, this is Ben Shapiro's play stupid games, win stupid prizes kind of scenario.
Yes, this is exactly that. Okay, so if I'm supposed to believe that this individual is a man, right?
Mm.
Legally speaking, then, that individual, should they separate from their from the individual co-responsible, shall we say, for having that baby, who's the one with the child support payment?
There were some missed opportunities here from Josh Hawley, that's for sure.
Yeah, he hammered the right point home in this one for me, though. It's, wait a second, are you saying that I'm opening them up to violence by asking a simple question about pregnancy? This is insane. But this is also part of the thing that we're going to be highlighting next week on Reviving Liberty, which is shining a light. And that's why This was a great example of shining a light. You let them speak and you let them hang themselves. Because the rest of America looks at that and says, Josh Hawley is not insane. She's insane. But then the other part of shining a light is you have to have something on your side, right? You can't just be, these people are insane. You have to fill the void, fill the vacuum, if you will. What in the absolute bullshit is that? And I hearken back to some of the discussions I had with professors back in 2000, 2004, 2005. This couldn't even have been a thing they would have fathomed at that point. Mm-mm. We're now supposed to believe that we have to accept their denial of reality as reality. So if somebody is paranoid schizophrenic, right, and they're telling us about something that is completely delusional and part of their paranoia, we have to buy into it because it's their reality? Hell no. But I'm still not done, Pat. I've got one more for you before we get into anything that you have. Are you ready for our good friend John Bolton? Not Michael Bolton, John Bolton. You ready?
We're good friends with John Bolton?
Well, when it comes to his personal advantage, the answer is he doesn't listen to anybody else. But I think this, it's also important to understand, while nothing Donald Trump did after the election in connection with the lie about the election fraud, none of it is defensible. None of it is defensible. It's also a mistake, as some people have said, including on the committee, the commentators, that somehow this was a carefully planned coup d'etat aimed at the Constitution. That's not the way Donald Trump does things. It's rambling from one half vast idea to another, one plan that falls through and another comes up. That's what he was doing. As I say, none of it defensible. But you have to understand the nature of what the problem of Donald Trump is. He's, to use a Star Wars metaphor, a disturbance in the force. And it's not an attack on our democracy. It's Donald Trump looking out for Donald Trump. It's a once in a lifetime occurrence.
I don't know that I agree with you, to be fair, with all due respect. One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
yeah,
not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work. And that's not what he did. It was just.
Wait a minute. Just casually, yeah, I planned some coup d'etats in my day. What? What the?
How do you say that with such, like, casualness?
Yeah. Trust me, I know what a coup d'etat looks like.
Right.
What? Did you just admit the quiet part out loud? That we all knew that our country was doing? That this is the reason why we hate the CIA so much? Because you decided that we're king and queen makers, so to speak? We have become the thing we revolted against. Who? More importantly, Pat, it is also illegal in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Speaking of prosecution of people who said things on camera, hi, you should have been arrested on the damn spot in the studio for
right.
Fomenting revolution in foreign countries.
How is he still walking free?
Because he's John freaking Bolton. What the hell is going on in this country right now? We have, just to recap, we have a first lady who doesn't know what a bodega is and believes that breakfast tacos are a thing that she should be speaking about in front of a Latino and Latina, a Latinx conference.
Uh-huh.
We have a senator who can't fathom that the founding fathers wrote a lot about what they meant about the documents that they created.
Uh-huh.
We have a witness who believes asking questions about whether or not people who are not actual biological women can get pregnant is is creating and fomenting violence and suicide. That's right. Josh Hawley is going to commit suicide. Or, well, not commit suicide, but Josh Hawley's going to make other people commit suicide. And then we have John Bolton telling us that he was involved in coup d'etats around the world. Not one. One's bad enough. But multiple? What the absolute shit is going on in this country? Please tell me you have something that does not top this.
No, I don't have anything that could possibly top any of this.
Okay. Do you have something to contribute to WTF Wednesday?
I do, but there isn't anything that's going to top this. No.
All right. Well, give it your best shot. Fire away.
All righty then. Well, we haven't talked about this fella in a while.
Oh, no.
Our Lord, Savior, President, Dr. Anthony Fauci is back in the news.
Let me guess. Get another booster. Even though I've had all of my boosters, it doesn't protect against infection. And oh, by the way, it doesn't do anything to guarantee whether or not you would or wouldn't go to the hospital.
Damn, that's actually pretty close. Fauci admits that COVID-19 vaccines do not protect overly well against infection.
So why would you take a booster?
Yeah, so he actually said one thing to be clear from the data is that even though vaccines, because of its high degree of transmissibility of the virus, don't protect overly well, as it were, against
Jesus,
infection.
Mary, and bleeping Joseph. For the 9 gajillionth time, because something is transmissible, highly transmissible, doesn't mean we have to freak the ever-loving crap out. You know what else is highly transmissible, by the way? Chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
Shingles. You know what else is highly transmissible, by the way? All sorts of STDs. You know what else is highly transmissible, Pat? Influenza.
Mm-hmm.
The cold.
Yep.
Oh, pink eye.
Yep.
All sorts of fungal infections, too, by the way. Highly transmissible.
I knew this one would set you off.
Hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
Just because something can be highly transmissible doesn't mean you need to freak out. The point we should be freaking out at is if, I don't know, 10% of the population is falling dead. That's the point. Or 1% of the population. I'll go that far. That ain't happening.
This
is the man who's supposed to know the science, right?
No. He doesn't know.
He is the science. I'm sorry. He is the science. I forgot. Lord, Savior, President, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Screw you. Science. Go to hell. And furthermore, what are you doing, Fox News? What are you doing? Any sort of supposedly right-leaning network. What are you doing putting this man on the air? He is as illegitimate as it comes when it comes to this topic. He's as illegitimate as O.J. Simpson is to talk about innocent of murder.
It's funny that you knew that came from Fox News because I didn't say that.
Oh, I saw it.
Mm.
Oh, yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. That story dropped this morning, by the way. Here's another one for you. Not limited to male or female. World Health Organization updating sex definition. And for those curious as to what they're actually updating it to, WHO is updating their gender mainstream manual to include new wording that states sex is not limited to male or female. The organization said in a news release that updates focus in part on going beyond non-binary approaches to gender and health, recognized gender and sexual diversity, or the concepts that gender identity exists on a continuum that and that sex is not limited to male or female.
Now, speaking of that, Pat, I'm going to go with a WTF of my own here.
Oh, boy.
How woke is your church, Pat? I'm curious. How woke is your church?
How woke is my church?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whatever, however woke or not woke it is not as woke.
I would like.
It is not as woke as the Episcopal Church, because it is now the Episcopal Church condemned crisis pregnancy centers. But that's not all. For your condemnation of a crisis pregnancy center, they're also going to throw in for free support of unfettered abortion.
Wait a minute.
Just wait. Resolved, the House of Bishops concurring that the 80th General Convention denounces the work of crisis pregnancy centers, also known as pregnancy resource centers, and be it further resolved that the 80th General Convention apologizes for the church's previous support of crisis pregnancy centers, as detailed in Resolution 1994-D105. And like I said, for free, they're going to throw in the following resolution. Resolved, the House of Bishops concurring that the 80th General Convention recognizes that pregnancy and childbirth are dangerous undertakings that risk permanent disability and death for those who bear children. And be it further resolved that the Episcopal Church reaffirms that parenthood, quote, should be initiated only advisedly and in full accord with this understanding of the power to conceive and give birth, which is bestowed by God. And be it further resolved that the Episcopal Church recognizes that access to abortion is a key element in preserving the health, independence, and autonomy of those who can bear children. And be it further resolved that the 80th General Convention affirms that all Episcopalians should be able to access abortion services and birth control with no restriction on movement, autonomy, type, or timing. And be it further resolved that the 80th General Convention understands that the protection of religious liberty extends to all Episcopalians who may need or desire to access, to utilize, to aid others in the procurement of, or to offer abortion services. Abortions for everyone, said Jesus. You thought yesterday's story about the Church of England not knowing what a woman was bad?
I don't even have words for this. I have no words for this. This is.
Do you even
take that back? This is demonic. God. This is demonic.
Do you even God? I'm surprised they didn't use the term birthing person. Honest to God. We're at the point here where I have a very serious question. And this goes to the church in general. And I'm talking about the Christian church. So Mormons, Catholics, Episcopalians, everybody. Apparently. Mm. You know, all of the evangelical Protestant churches out there, all of the non-evangelical Protestant churches, Protestants, Catholics, Christians of all types, sorts, and sizes. Okay. That's what I talk about when I talk about the church. Where's the biblical worldview? Where is it? Do you even Bible, bro? And if you don't, you're not a church. You're a cult taken over by the spirit of the age. This is how infected our society is with the spirit of the age. And of course, we know the spirit of the age is what? The manifestation of the devil. This is the devil's work. It has literally, this isn't even a disagreement over theology, right? This isn't a theological difference of should a woman be allowed into the priesthood of the Catholic Church, or a theological difference over an interpretation of a Bible verse, right? Or how to regulate mass, right? Or whatever. Those are theological and hierarchical and internal debates. Okay? This isn't even that. This is basic, do you even believe in God type stuff? Do you believe in the words that exist in the Bible? This is as basic of, do you even know what the Bible tells us? This is the sickness of the church. The church doesn't even believe in the words of the Bible. It doesn't believe in a biblical worldview anymore. How woke is your church? This is the answer. And if you don't pay attention, if you don't combat it within your own parish, within your own synagogue, within whatever, if you don't combat it in the pews, if you don't combat it, if you don't stand up to it, because sometimes the answer is not just walking away. Now, if I was an Episcopalian and I've put up with, this is a line in the sand for me, right? This is that red line that you ain't crossing. They've crossed every single one of them to date. And you're still there? How do you call yourself a church that believes in Jesus Christ and in God? What part of the Bible, you don't get to pick and choose the parts of the Bible that you believe and you don't believe. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. I don't know where to go with this. I really don't. We have literal sects of Protestant churches deciding that they don't even, their first inclination is not looking at the Bible, right? Their first inclination is to look at politics, is to look woke, is to decide that they want the spirit of the age. I'm going to put the finger in the air, and whatever the church of me is telling me, I should say, I will say. That is how controlling the spirit of the age has become within the church. That the leadership, the people who are supposed to be the most rooted in God, are rooted in the devil himself. And I'm not joking about that, by the way. I want people to understand that. Because for my faith, at least, Pat, and I'll let you speak to yours in a second here, but for my faith, the devil is real, okay? This isn't something that is just a metaphor. The spirit of the age is the metaphor, is the manifestation of that demonic work. Because we also have to realize that the reason this infiltration looks the way that it does is because the devil does not care whom he creates chaos amongst. His goal is, guess what? I already know you're going to hell, so I'm going to take as many other people like you as humanly possible with me. And how do I do it? By sowing the seeds of chaos. I want, if I'm the devil, to create chaos within society because it is antithetical to the life of God, of Jesus Christ's teachings? And if I can create that chaos within the church, I win if I'm the devil, right? If you need any proof ever that the devil is real, it's this shit. And I'm being serious about that. I'll let you speak on that.
You know, I tend to agree with the points that you just laid out about, you know, the church in general and encompassing all Christian churches. Speaking for, well, not necessarily speaking for, but speaking about my faith in particular, I think, and I could even see this in my own, is that a lot of leaders within my faith have gone more woke than I think that I would like. I look at it, and especially like when you look at certain like political issues that back in the day they would have no problem speaking out against, none. But today they seem to be more silent about it, and not to speak is to speak. And so they're more silent about it because they don't want to create stumbling blocks for certain types of people, and they want to remain inclusive and try to keep everyone as active as possible in church. Okay, so I understand that to a point. However, when Roe versus Wade and the decision to overturn Roe versus Wade came down, I don't know of any statement that my church has made in regards to that. And they have been staunchly against abortion, aside from rape, incest, help to the mother. I mean, that is literally the church policy. And within that policy too, even under like rape and incest, it's still counsel with your bishop, pray about it. We would still encourage you to not necessarily get an abortion, but rather place the baby up for adoption if you don't want to be a parent to that child. That is ultimately the encouragement, but it's not that is the policy. To this day, to my knowledge, they have not spoken a word. And that to me was highly, highly disturbing, because that this is something you should be speaking about. I was hopeful that my bishop or a member of my bishopric in sacrament meeting on Sunday would read a letter or say something in regards to this. And to this day, it has still never happened. It hasn't even been a discussion within my own ward, and that also is concerning. No, I'm not saying anything bad about my leaders in my ward or anything like that. I mean, that's completely within their purview, and on some level, I can understand why they wouldn't, because when I go to church on Sunday, I don't want there to be anything about politics or current events. I want it to be about God and my relationship with God, and have that spiritual hospital, if you will, of going to church. So I can understand why some faiths aren't doing certain things to a point, but damn it, we really need like to be speaking from the pulpit about some of these issues that are going on. That way we can hopefully have some kind of course correction when it comes to faith, church, and the modern day world.
Couldn't say it better myself, Pat. That there's a very serious reckoning that needs to happen within the church. A very serious reckoning. And I don't know if the church is ready for it. I really don't. I don't know if the people are ready for it. And that's why when we talked about and started putting the skeleton of Reviving Liberty together, Pat, the very first thing we thought about was rooting ourselves in God. Because as much as we are faithful to our church, right? So our respective churches, you believe in the Mormon faith, and I believe in the Catholic faith. As much as we have those roots, right? It is actually us and our relationship with God, rooting ourselves there, that can help make these changes, right? That can help know that I will not be overtaken with the spirit of the age in my faith, that I will be strong enough to stand up in my own, you know, to your point, your own ward or in my parish, right? I will speak truth to power, and I will be able to recognize the spirit of the age working within my church. And that's the reason why that was the first step on the path towards reviving liberty. Not just because our founding fathers told us that the roots of God and God's will and God's natural law are the basis and the foundation of the ideal of liberty. It's not because of that. It's because the strength to be able to do the things that they did, the strength to be able to do the things that we need to do to revive, to make liberty active again in our lives, comes from that personal knowledge and rooting in God. Because without it, without that ability to draw on the strength of God and his will being done, the ability to understand that all the things that you might have to endure, all of the things that are going on in this world that you have to sift through and sort through, that you can lean on that relationship and that those values, those principles, those things that God and God's Son have created for us. It is that ability for yourself, your family, and your community that is the root of everything. And if you are not that root for yourself, you will be rotted too. And I'm not saying that necessarily, you know, go to church or whatever. What I am saying is find a way. Think about God. Think about your relationships. Think about how you interact, how deeply you actually believe in the teachings of the Bible, the teachings, the biblical worldview of your church. Screw what's happening on the pulpit. Screw what is coming from, you know, your pastor or whomever. Pay attention to the biblical worldview that your church is supposed to be giving you. Find yourself, root yourself, pray, do the things that you need to do for yourself. Don't rely on others to hand you your faith for you. And on that note, Pat, your final thoughts on today's episode.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And bodega, blossom, breakfast taco.
Bodega? Bodega?
However you say it. I don't even know how you say it.
Oh my God. The dumbest presidency of all time. Please be smart, be safe, be kind, and as always, Matthew 5:47.